But let me just tell you, the transition between the two of these things is that it is such an honor and a privilege to be the pastor of this church. I am so blessed. If you were to go back in time and see me 10, 15, 20 years ago, that person would have never been standing here today. God is gracious, and he's no respecter of persons. That we can make a mess of our lives, and then he can come in there and scrub it clean and make it right, and then choose to use you to lead people to a relationship with him is awe-inspiring and very humbling. So I thank you. I thank you for the privilege of being here and pastoring you. I have, God has given me a shepherd's heart over the past couple of years, something that I didn't truly have before, and that I just love God's people. I love you. It's probably hard to understand, but I want the best for you, the absolute best for you. And I hope you understand that. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day, oh God. I am just truly humbled to serve the mighty King of Kings. Thank you, Lord, for this privilege and this honor. And God, for sharing your word this morning. I pray, Lord, that you bless it, you anoint it. May it quicken their hearts this morning, God. But maybe they see how incredible it is that we can sit at the feet of the Master and learn. And I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Try into the mic. You know, it's not cutting in and out. Actually, it's coming out of the mains that way. It's really bizarre. I think there's some kind of RF issues. If you see the input into the board, it's right on. So, I don't have another one. So we're just going to have to make do, okay? I will try to keep it right here. And that way, anyway. So, have you ever seen those car dealership ads where they say, you know, we have the best deal for you, or the signs, you know, anybody can buy, 0% down, you don't even have to pay us anything for about 10 years, and you can own a car. And then maybe you go there to try to get that car, and they say, well, not necessarily you don't qualify. Or maybe there's a cell phone commercial where you think this is a great deal, and you're going to switch because you don't like your carrier anyway, and you hate your phone, and you want an upgrade, so you're going to switch because there's this awesome deal that you saw, little sign in the mall or something like that. But then when you go to find out what's going on, you realize that they didn't really mean you either because you don't qualify for whatever reason. When we hear anyone is welcome or anyone can cash in on this deal, they don't always really mean anyone. There's always a catch. In Luke 9:23, Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, I'm going to repeat that again. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. When making the invitation to potential followers, Jesus invites anyone. Anyone is welcome. It's possible over the years that we've become a little cynical, right? Sometimes it takes a lot to trust and believe the things that we're seeing, reading, listening to, commercials on the television. When we hear Jesus say that anyone is welcome, we might start looking for a catch, right? There's got to be a catch because we've been enculturated to believe that there's always a catch. But here's the deal. There's no catch. There's no small print. There's no hidden fees. It's all laid out in the verse that I just quoted, and it's open to anyone. And truly, those that were there when he said it in the flesh would have looked at his ragtag group of disciples and realized that anyone truly meant anyone. To understand this dynamic, we have to understand the rabbinic culture of the day. In his society, Jesus was a rabbi. So even those that don't accept Jesus' divinity, we know him to be God, right? But if you don't believe that, even if you don't believe that, most people will come to the agreement that he was an awesome and anointed teacher. a rabbi, homeless, unconventional, but a rabbi nonetheless. And a rabbi was a teacher of God's word, which at that time included parts of what we know as the Old Testament, right? Rabbis had extensive knowledge of the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, and the writings of the prophets. Rabbis were also special because they had a group of Talmids. And the word Talmid can be translated to mean disciple or student. So essentially, every rabbi had a class of students. And this was a very exclusive group, okay? Not everybody could be a Talmid and follow a rabbi. There were all kinds of qualifications that you had to perform in order to be accepted. And actually, the truth is that most people, right, the majority of people, would never make the grade in that situation. And those that didn't, even if they might have had that intent their whole life and been raised like this is their intent, your parents really want this for you, chances are you weren't going to make it. And if you didn't, then you fell into maybe the family business. You became a stonemason or a fisherman, any kind of tradesman. For those that wanted to become the Talmid of a particular rabbi, they had to go through an extensive application process. And it's interesting, when I was going through this whole situation, like this message this week, and realizing about the application process, we're doing the whole system with Layton right now and visiting colleges, and then they tell you what's required. You know, in order for you to apply and be accepted here, there are certain things that you have to do. And it was no different for the applicants that wanted to follow the rabbi to be a Talmid. There are prerequisites, just like we have a GPA. You know, you want a 4.0. You want a combined score of 1,600 on your SATs. You want to have a high ACT score. It was the same thing. They had to know a lot of things ahead of time. Talmids had to have a full knowledge of Scripture. They would be tested by the rabbi to see if they actually could make the grade. You know, oftentimes they were asked to recite a whole book of the Bible from memory. Or they were, you know, they would be given a quote, and they have to know which prophet had said it. It was an intense and painstaking process. And the rabbis had to be thorough because the excellence of the student reflected on the rabbi. If he let anyone in, he was not a respected teacher. On the other hand, if his group of Talmid were exceptionally brilliant, then the rabbi would be respected and admired. But then, Jesus put this whole system in upheaval. Layton, are you there? Little movie. Now I'll come back.
When Jesus said to Matthew, follow me.
So word gets around that this new stylized rabbi is picking out people at random. Random. And people probably started to wonder what was going on. They hear about his incredible teaching, right? His fame travels before him. But then they see his disciples. Do you think they were confused? This culture was expecting the best of the best to follow after the rabbis. And they take a look at these 12 guys, and they go, these are nobodies. They're fishermen, hot-headed political zealots, tax collectors. So now when people hear the invitation, they might begin to think, well, maybe I can make it. I might have failed before, but now I have a chance to change things. People who had given up had hope again. And slowly but surely, they began to realize that when he said anyone, he meant anyone. So anyone really means everyone. Everyone is welcome. But here's the struggle. Though we never say it, and I don't think we'd say it out loud, we don't always buy into the idea that church should be for anyone. We might like church the way it is. People in general like things to stay the same, and the same soon becomes some kind of a standard, and then eventually the standard becomes a qualification. But when Jesus does away with the qualifications in order to follow, he got long of the long list of prerequisites, got rid of those, and essentially doing away with the standard application process. And maybe we should do away with those kind of things the same way. Our own qualifications, stated and unstated. The church as a whole, and not necessarily this one, okay? I'm not pointing fingers, but the Church of Jesus Christ, has an unwritten code. And maybe it's a dress code. Maybe it's a certain political persuasion that you're supposed to hold fast to. Or what about the things that have been added to this unwritten code? How about whether or not you should ever consume alcohol? Whether or not you should listen to this or that style of music? What your income is? What your social agenda is? What your church denomination is? Without even knowing it, the list can stack up pretty quickly, and without knowing it, we create barriers to the everyone is welcome, even unintentionally. So Jesus didn't just get rid of the qualifications. I love this. He got rid of the excuses. No qualifications means no excuses. When Jesus invites anyone to follow him, he doesn't just break down barriers. He gets rid of the excuses that we hide behind. So maybe you're a tradesman and you go, you know, I don't know that if I have the skill or if I have the learning to be a follower of Jesus. Maybe I've been a school dropout. Does that mean you still can't learn at the feet of the master? No. Maybe I'm a mother of four and I don't have any time and I barely even get time to take a shower. It doesn't mean that you cannot follow Jesus. So what has your excuse been in the past? There's a good number of us that hold off having a relationship with Jesus simply because we're too busy. Sometimes we spend too many hours at the office. Sometimes we're spending an awful lot of time working on our marriages. Maybe the kids need all of your attention. Or the times are tough and you've taken on a second job. We get busy. Others say it's because of a past they're not proud of. So the baggage from the addiction or the divorce or the bankruptcy has been excused for a long time. And it's easy to hide behind these kinds of excuses because who's going to argue with someone who's been through a tragedy or someone who's been emotionally scarred? But Jesus gets rid of all the excuses when he says anyone. All you have to do is look at me and realize that he says anyone. Sexual past, anyone. Ex-con, anyone. Inmate, anyone. Recently divorced, anyone. Legalist, anyone. Alcoholic, anyone. Pothead, anyone. Addict, anyone. Hypocrite, anyone. Anyone. No excuses. But here's a question that we need to consider. Are we truly ready for what can happen when we embrace the invitation to anyone? Ultimately, what happens is that you really open up the doors to have a big fat mess. Because people come with their stuff. We need to deal with the fact that our church would be filled with people that are unchurched. And you'd be rubbing shoulders with people with different weekend activities, people that might be hard to love, people that have different backgrounds. So the difference between a fan and a follower is willing to break down those walls. And before you think that I'm encouraging toleration of all of these things, it's not what I mean. We are not to tolerate or condone anything sinful. But we need to help people that want to become Christ followers to understand what God's word allows and what it doesn't. But it doesn't stop the invitation to anyone. Those that respond to his invitation might have pasts that make us uncomfortable, lifestyles that you'd be embarrassed to talk about. Fans don't know how to handle new people like that. They prefer shallow and comfortable. But followers are willing to listen. And I mean really listen. To sit and actually hear what somebody is sharing from their heart. A heart-to-heart conversation. To be able to sit and listen to stories of brokenness and sin without judgment. And still welcome people in with open arms. The next point is crucial for new followers or even if you've been a long-time believer. It's anyone, but it's everything. So when Jesus makes his invitation, he welcomes anyone who would come after him. But he also makes it clear that when you choose to follow him, you are giving up everything. So it's anyone, but it's everything. When a Talmid was finally accepted into a rabbi's school, they would leave their home, their jobs, whatever was holding them back, and they would go and follow the rabbi. Literally, they would follow the rabbi wherever he went. And we see this model, too. When Jesus calls the 12 disciples, it says that they just, like, drop their nets and they go. Matthew, the tax collector, he gets up and he follows Jesus. They leave everything behind. And that was the way it worked. So can I have a volunteer? I need a volunteer. Come on, Betsy. I am the rabbi. You are the Talmid. Ready? You're going to follow me. Okay. That's it. Just follow me wherever I go. Okay. You ready? Yeah. All right, so I'm the rabbi. I'm going to go into a new town. And now I'm going to go visit the sick. Not that you're sick, but here I am. Maybe I'm going to go to a school and teach. Maybe I'm going to continue to travel and get on a boat and travel miles and miles away from home. And if you were Jesus and the Talmid or the disciple of Jesus, you would follow him wherever he went. If that meant not having a home, you'd follow. If it meant going into where sinners were, and the shameful people, you'd follow. And if it meant not running from persecution, you'd follow. Thank you. Thank you. And that's what Jesus offers. The greatest teacher that ever lived offers you the chance to become one of his students. And when he says anyone, he means everyone. And with no qualifications, you have no excuse. But even though he makes his invitation to anyone, he also guarantees that it will cost you everything. So are you ready? Are you ready to follow the rabbi, Jesus? If you would stand and pray with me. Are you ready? Like I said last week, we don't want to answer too quickly. Sometimes we do things in groups. I don't know if you've ever seen that dynamic where, you know, like if one person goes forward, everybody goes forward, right? Because nobody wants to be left behind, and we want to do things that were, you know, is popular. But when it comes to following Jesus, you're not doing the popular thing, especially now. I don't know if you've noticed, but it's not very popular to be a Christ follower these days. You are ready for ridicule and persecution, for things to change in your life, for people to doubt you, to think you're crazy, to think that you are a lunatic, to think that you are part of a cult. There's a lot of things that you're might be accused of for following Jesus. So when I say, are you ready? You need to make sure that you're ready. And a lot of that has to do with being prayed up, having the full armor of God on, because things are coming down your way. As soon as you step out in faith to do what God is calling you to do, the enemy's not going to like it. And you have to know that. You have to be prepared. You have to be prayed up and prepared. And so I just want to pray over you. Thanks, Layton. That as followers, and maybe you're making that transition from fan to follower. That's okay. Maybe you go, I'm okay being a fan right now because I'm not ready. That's okay. But I'm going to call you to think about stepping the next step closer to what that would mean, or what might look like to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to be totally and completely committed follower, where you say, doesn't matter what I've done before, I'm not going to hold that up as my banner. You know? I could have a list of things to hold up in front of you to say this would disqualify me in any realm. But God doesn't accept those excuses. Thank you, Lord, that your mercies are new each and every day. And let us pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray for your people today. I pray for your divine protection over each and every one that's in these seats today, oh God. That as they step forward in boldness to do the things of God, the things that you've called them to do, God, that you would protect them, you would enable them, you would encourage them, you would fill them with your Holy Spirit, God. That when they stumble, oh God, that you will be there, God. We know that we can call upon your name, just like we did this morning, that there is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, every stronghold. They come tearing down the name of Jesus. And so I pray, God, that any kind of experience that they might have had in their past, oh God, that today it would no longer be an excuse for them to step out and follow Christ. That today that excuses would be laid down at the foot of the cross. I pray, God, that their identity would be in you and not in the things that they have done. God, I am a child of God, redeemed, made new by the power of your Holy Spirit. I do not identify with the person that I once was, oh God. And I pray the same thing for these people, that no matter what they've done, what they've experienced, what any hurts have come upon them, oh God, and anything that they might have done by their own volition, God, that it is as far from the east to the west in your eyes, oh God, that you see it no more, that we see through the image of Christ upon the cross, and that they are made new, made clean, and that they can just put all those things behind them, oh God, and follow after you. I pray, God, for a divine urgency, an urgency to do the things of God, to make a difference, oh God, in those people around them, to live lives that are righteous and holy before you, oh God, but to enjoy this life, to be joy-filled in experiencing what it's like to have victory in Christ each and every day. Thank you, Lord. God, our neighbors, our friends, our co-workers, our towns, our country, oh God, need to see the people of God arise. To take a bold stand in faith, oh God, for what you have told us our lives should look like. And that we would follow and hunger after you, God, and not after the things of this world. Today is a day that we're just going to mark a line in the sand, that today is not the day that we're going to look back and say, I can't move forward in these things, God. I'm not capable. I'm not qualified. I'm not talented. I'm not intelligent. All of that stuff means nothing in your eyes. You would call the fishermen that stunk of fish, God, that were in their underwear in boats with nets around them, God. You called them because you could see with your heavenly eyes of who they could be. That those same people would be the foundation of your church, that would speak in front of people, God, and thousands would come to faith. Not because of where they were, but what you had done in their lives. That Matthew, a tax collector, could just walk away from cheating his own people, God. That you would redeem him, make him new, and he would write the gospel, God, to bring people to faith, to share all that you had done. God, there's so much that you can do through a life that is totally submitted to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. We call upon your name, oh God. When oceans rise, I'll rest in your embrace. Because I am yours. and you are mine. Hallelujah. You might not know this as well, too, and I don't have. Do I have everybody's downstairs to be able to show you the lyrics? Sorry. The words are, I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. Like Peter. You know, the problem that happened with him is that he took his eyes off of Jesus and he looked down to his circumstances and he began to drown. So we want to call upon the name of Jesus just like they did in the boat and keep our eyes above the waves. And when oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. I want you to have that image of Peter, man. He just is going down, and the oceans are rising around him, and he reaches up, and he rests in the embrace of Jesus, who brings him into safety. I'll call upon your name. And I will call upon your name. And keep my eyes. Keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours, and you are mine. Thank you, Lord. Let's do that again, okay? I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, because I am yours and you are mine. Hallelujah. Let me pray a prayer blessing upon you and release you. Let's pray again. Father, thank you so much for being in this place today, O God, that your Heavenly Spirit, as promised in your word, is here, O God, because we gather in your name, the name above all names. And so I pray, God, that you bless your people as they go this week. I pray, God, that today was a divine appointment to release those things that might have happened in the past, God, and keep their eyes fixed on you, God, that you truly are the author and perfecter of our faith. And if we keep our eyes fixed on you this week, oh God, that we, even though we stumble, that you are there to pick us up. God, may they be true light bearers this week in their communities and where they work and in their homes. And God, I pray in advance for our outreach this Thursday, God, on All Hallows Eve, that we would be able to gather the saints to bless these people, to shine a light in the darkness. I pray this all in Jesus' heavenly name. Amen. Amen.